Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 7, titled Scheduled Incarnations, text 21. Dhanvantarischa Bhagavan Swayam Deva Kirti.
Dhanvantarischa Bhagavan Swayam Deva Kirti.
Natarinam Purjam Jashunti.
Natarinam Purjam Jashunti.
Yagyecha Bhagavan.
Of ways in the lives of the living beings.
He's available within the heart of every living being. He is authenticity. He is residing within the heart of every living being as the soul of Anumanta, Upadrista, or the one who gives unmeeting permission for whatever we can achieve, or the one who is witnessing whatever we are doing with this. But it also appears in the form of many incarnations and gets involved in some aspect of providing for our sustenance. You see that the Supreme Lord, even when he gets involved with providing for material needs, like in this case, providing medicine, or medical treatment, or Ayurveda, knowledge of long life, still, the transcendental aspect is also there. He's also delivering the conditioned souls from material existence. That is the very nature of the Supreme Lord. Simply by his very existence, he is doing so. Whenever the Lord is remembered, we become purified from material existence. What to speak when the Lord personally appears? It is said that when the Lord personally appears, there is even greater mercy to be obtained. Like just as we see in the descriptions of Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's appearance, how various demons are getting so much benefit. And we see how these demons, ordinarily a demon who gets killed by Krishna, should attain sahijamukti or liberation when it emerges in the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord. But several demons were receiving more mercy, because when the Lord personally appears, there is extra mercy. Just like an example is Putana, who got such great mercy that she even attained the spiritual world, because along with her demonic activities, there was a little bit of service. So in this way, the personal mercy of Krishna is there when he appears in an incarnation, along with his very nature, which is merciful. The Lord, by nature, is mercy personified. It is said that Krishna is the Supreme Pure, and anyone who somehow or other connects with him becomes purified, simply. And purified means immediately delivered from so much karmic entanglement. Karmic entanglement is what causes us all these very sufferings and also temporary enjoyments of this material world. And Krishna, immediately, just by remembering him, hearing about him, glorifying him, serving him, seeing him, indirectly coming in touch with him, one gets purified. One may recall that it is said in a previous life, Prahlad Maharaj was not a devotee, but somehow or other a sense enjoyer. But on one occasion, he tried to enjoy with some lady of low repute, and they were going into the forest. And when they came to the forest, they came to an old abandoned temple. So they thought that this might be a good place for enjoyment. So they cleaned the temple so that it would be suitable for whatever plans they had. And it happened to be a temple of Lord Vishnu Day, and it happened to be Vishnu Chaturdasi on that day. And as a result of that Abhyata Sukriti, that unknown service that was done, then so one can just see how amazing the mercy of the Lord is in that way. Even animals. It is said a similar story is there of a rat who was going on the altar. It was cold at the time. So the gilan, that he wakes, the rat could smell that ghee and was attracted to it. And the wick had gone out practically, although it was still glowing. So the rat just put its nose there and started nibbling on this ghee wick. But its whiskers got on fire. And the whole rat burned. But due to the fact that it left by eating the kiwi that had been offered to the Lord, it attained a devotee birth in the next life. So we can it is just amazing. We can just imagine what we were in our last life. Maybe a worm, and maybe a Vaishnava who spit and somehow landed on our head. Just imagine. It takes just that connection with mercy, and any living being can become purified. Maha water is poured somewhere on the ground, and who knows what insects and what living beings, what birds, what creatures are being benedicted. Who knows? The crumbs of prasada. Therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying, keep the Jatmaho, let me take any birth. Let me take birth as an insect, if that has to be. But let it be in the house of Vaishnava. I will not ask for any elevated birth. Even if you give me the birth of an insect, I'll accept, but let it be in the house of Vaishnava. Because in the house of Vaishnava, there is mercy. The mercy is there. And there is kirtan, there is prasadam, there are deities, there is mercy, there are other Vaishnavas. Somehow or other, where the Vaishnavas are, Krishna is present in some form or other. And mercy is there. And in this way, all get benedicted. I have one disciple in the Czech Republic, and his father was an avid reader, and he had like a bookshelf from the floor all the way to the ceiling, and the whole wall was just books. And so he grew. This devotee grew up like that. He saw these books his whole life. And there was one book on the top shelf. It was effulgent. He saw this book was shining. It was effulgent. But it's on the top shelf. And as a child, whatever is there, you just take it for normal. That's part of reality. So, effulgent book on the top shelf, yes. The effulgent book on the top shelf. It took him 20 years to climb up and take that book off the top shelf, and it was the Bhagavad Gita. As it is, then he became a devotee. But all these years he had seen that the book was effulgent. Since his childhood, it had been, he had perceived that it was that book that was waiting for him when they were devotee. So, in this way, the mercy of Krishna is is present within Krishna or within his expanded forms, in his, and in whatever he has touched, whatever has a connection with him. So in this way, mercy is a central key in our lives. It is mercy that we should be aware of and open to. We should look for mercy wherever we can find it. We should be awake to not miss it, whatever is there, and just catch an opportunity when it arises. We see that when Lord Chaitanya was performing that Gundicha Marjana pastime, cleansing of the Gundicha temple so that Lord Jagannath could go there and stay there for a week at the time of Ratikantra, after the chariot completes the route, then Lord Jagannath stays in the Gundicha temple, and then after, on the eighth day, there is the altar route. The Lord goes back in Ratikantra, but now in the opposite direction, back to the Jagannath temple. So, Lord Chaitanya and his associates were cleaning the Gundicha temple. And first they swept, and then they swept again. First the gross dust, and then the fine dust. And Lord Chaitanya swept more than everyone together. He would reward people who were sleeping a lot. He would chastise those who wouldn't sleep very much. So Lord Chaitanya really wanted that, and never was late. And then pots of waters were brought from Indrajuna Sarovar, which is near to the Gundicha temple. And the devotees were just walking up and down with these pots. And at that point, the language just became Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Everyone just said Krishna, and no other words were spoken. And when someone wanted a broom, he said Krishna. And when someone wanted a pot of water, he said Krishna. And everyone understood what they meant while they were saying Krishna. People were running with pots, and some people collided and the pots broke. Anyway, they were throwing water all over the temple. And one Bengali Vaishnava, he took the pot and instead of cleansing the temple, threw it over the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then took that water and drank it. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called his secretary, Swarup Damodar, who's also Bengali, and he said, "Your Bengali Vaishnava, look at what he's done, what a rascal, in the temple. Punish him." So Damodar slapped him and sent him out of the temple. But anyway, the Bengali Vaishnava was ecstatic because he drank the water that had washed the holy feet of Lord Chaitanya. He saw that. He had the eye. No one else saw that opportunity, but he saw that opportunity. In the same way, we remember Rashtrava went into the Pacific Ocean and stood, not even waist high, just slightly over him, the water was slightly over his knees. So then Shrutakirti, who was the servant, he started to scoop up water and started to make Brahma. Well, all the devotees, they got into it. Everyone started scooping up water and everyone started making Brahma. And then Brahma himself scooped up some water and put it in his mouth and gurgled. Guru Kripa saw it. Guru Kripa came closer. Guru Kripa, who has good reflexes, he dove. And as Brahma spit it out, Guru Kripa caught it and drank it, salt water or not. He drank it. That spirit of eagerness for the mercy, that is Vaishnava. That is Vaishnava. That is required to Tralobhyam Abhimulyam Ekaram. That is the one root of
breakthrough
in spiritual life.
How to make a breakthrough? This is the big question. Here we are sitting in front of, I call it the taste barrier. And we are fixed in the emotional service, we chat our rounds every day, we get up from Mangalati, we do it all. But where is the taste? That is the question. How do we get it? This is the crux. This is the turning point. This is the pivot, right, in our spiritual life, where up to the point that we come to Ruchi, spiritual life is about engaging on the strength of knowledge. And one who engages on the strength of knowledge is weak. We don't somehow become city. Even one who is in knowledge is struggling. But I'm in the moment, the senses are so strong. Why is it so? Because Anandamaya Vyasat, the living being, is by nature looking for happiness. We can't avoid that. We need happiness. It's not that I'm so renounced, I'm renouncing happiness. I'm just fixed in teaching. That's my heart. That's interesting. That is my heart. He renounces everything. But the devotee is embracing happiness, but the real happiness of serving Krishna. And therefore we are looking for Krishna everywhere. That is the Goswamis, with great eagerness. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is he? Always looking for Krishna, always looking for mercy, always looking for Vaishnavas, always eager. Get in a little service. Yes. Get in a little extra hearing. Get in an extra round. Yes. Get in. Get that little bit of Mahaprasada. Anyone who joins this movement and doesn't eat huge plates of prasada is suspicious. Such a person, it doesn't look hopeful. It doesn't look hopeful at all. And such a person, bad omens, taking prasada, may not, I mean, not like becoming hopelessly addicted. What is going on? Of course, prasada is powerful. So it has broken many diets. It has killed macrobiotics. It has knocked out vegans. It has changed the meat eaters. Prasada has been taken by mayors. We know in Gainesville, for 40 years they distributed prasada in the university. And even the mayor used to take it as a student. He used to take it as a student. It is like people all in big positions in society, they grew up in prasada. See, this is what needs to be done. Just flood the university with prasada, and the leaders of tomorrow will be prasada addicts. This way, they will always. Dasarath used to tell this story that he was opening up a restaurant in Gainesville, and they needed permissions and they had a hard time getting it, and they went to the mayor and they spoke to the mayor about the restaurant and said it's a good thing, vegetarian, good for health and all these things, so please. And then the mayor interrupted it and said, "Do you have any prasada?" They arranged a plate of prasada, and then the mayor revealed that he had for years taken prasada in the university. And then after he finished off the plate, then he said, "What did you want me to sign again?" So in this way, it is the mercy that will transform the world. Somehow or other, it will try to transform us. We're not going to do this in any other way unless we take shelter of that mercy. Eagerly fill our day, pack each day with mercy. If you have to go and work in a mundane environment, pack a box with mercy. Make sure you have your mercy box with you. Whatever form, pack your phone with mercy. And since you carry that thing and look at it so many times a day, in this way, somehow or other, collect that mercy and surround ourselves by it. Make our place of residence a holy place where we can go and where we can go for inspiration and strength. That's the idea. Therefore, it might even make sense to clean the room instead of leaving all the clothes lying around everywhere in a pile of junk. No, it should be clean and transcendental, a place where Krishna can reside, so that we can purify it in that place. That's how it should be. Like that, we make endless arrangements to bring, to make sure that mercy in all kinds of shapes and forms is in our life. And that's why we like Ayurveda. I went to South India to this Ayurvedic hospital, and there was deafening noise. They had drummers. And they had like drummers, big guys with big arms, drumming with sticks. So drums and sticks are very loud. For hours and hours on these drums in the temple of Dhanvantari. And it was a one-week festival for Dhanvantari. And they had these professional drummers that drum on festival occasions. And these guys, it would start ta-ta, 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 at one point. So that would build up for 15 minutes and then it would go for like 20 minutes. My room was like 15 meters away, so it was loud. And there was a sign in the room on the wall that says, "Don't complain about the noise because it will cure your disease." It's purified. Okay, we tolerate the trouble. And then after one meeting was over, it was intense. Then this massage started with 12 men, sorry, 6 men with 12 hands all over the place, pouring oil here and there. But at least before they started, they did a puja to Lord Dhanvantara. They worshipped Lord Dhanvantara. And in the room where I stay, there's a picture of Dhanvantara. And a pujari would come, a Brahmin, and he would go around all the rooms with some chandan from Dhanvantara and with a little bit, or with some tulsi leaves from Dhanvantara. Even whatever food they serve is Dhanvantari prasada. So in that way, well, it was still a hospital. I must say, it was still a hospital. But at least it was dedicated to the Supreme Lord. And of course, it's not nice to take such medical treatment either.
spoken to my ears, it was very frightening. No fun. But whatever they were doing, it was, one could trust it, because it comes down from revealed knowledge, revealed by the Supreme Knowledge. Whereas, you know, when you go into a little clinic and it says nuclear radio technology, yeah? And you look, nuclear, and you're just going inside. Part of you just feels like, run. Because somehow or other, it is the assuming way of healing. Healing is described that the demigods, they heal by mantra. They simply heal by mantra. Then a lower level is healing by herbs, and the lowest level is healed by surgery, because surgery is actually, it is permanently damaging the body. But surgery was also there in my day, considered like the lowest type of medical treatment. So, very nice how there is a science that is where the medical treatment is completely beneficial, no harmful side effects. It's like, I got this 3 years ago, I had shingles. You get the immune system, it's like this nasty rash connected to the nerve system, it hurts like anything. And then they gave me this medicine, and I was reading on it, and it said that may cause schizophrenia, may cause psychosis, yeah? And reading like, really? And then I took this stuff, and my mind felt like, my leg was being stretched like a rubber, and then I saw this green demon. And he stayed with me all the time. He's sitting over there. And <I'm> sits. So that's beautiful. So any questions or comments? Yes. I get the mic.
The aim is to receive the blessing, to seek it out. So once you receive it, how do we become good recipients? What do we do with that blessing?
Yeah, the mercy. We should take advantage of it without delay. It's said when you have, when you get the mercy, if you don't take advantage immediately, it might disappear. So therefore, like prasada, when you get it, you must honor it immediately. Even if you have, if you're woken up in the middle of the night, without washing your mouth, you need to take it. So one should take advantage of mercy immediately, because we may not have any time. I say, well, you know, I've got a lot of mercy, I've got a lot of knowledge, I've got a lot of blessings, I've got a lot of good examples, and I know what to do, and you know, but everyone needs to do it a little gradual at their own pace. mercy in your life. It comes in various forms, but you should take advantage of it. You should not let it sit on the shallow thing. I have all this mercy, all this treasure, and I'll use it later. I'll use it. Sweets and other things, lots of things on the shelf for later. To take advantage of this. And then that will attract more if we, because mercy is costless, it is said. It comes without any cost. But at the same time, mercy can be attracted by service energy. That mercy must translate into service, into a great service attitude. And that will attract more mercy of the devotees, of the wherever there is. It is like it is said that Kamashyatatramitamuhaya, that transcendental knowledge remains hidden within the heart of the Vaishnava. And the Vaishnava may speak and about transcendental knowledge, but it depends on the audience. If the audience is not very eager, then it's like giving a lecture to a wall. It's very tough. If there's an audience that totally not interested and antagonistic, when you speak against a wall, it's very difficult. And then sort of becomes difficult to give the lecture. But when the audience is very eager, then all kinds of things come out. And then sometimes the speaker may be surprised what comes out of his mouth. He may say something that he hadn't consciously thought of. But somehow or another it is being brought out. It is being brought out by the eagerness of those who hear. So this is the so mercy is to be approached with eagerness, and you should take advantage of it. Yeah, so if you've got special mercy, then we have to try and then be somebody special. That's how it is. It's like, you know, all these things, like we can say, I did the Dhruva Maharaj was telling me the other day, he said, yes, we have the good fortune of being there in the early days, you're proud of it. Yeah. But then you have to also do something, right? And also expect it to be something extraordinary. I got that mercy of staying home time in the Holy Dhammas. And then I have to do something. It's still on the shelf. It's planning to do something. Let's do something with the mercy.
He gave some punishment.
And it is true that in a way he is causing disturbance by his eagerness for the mosque, because he was just because C.J. Takamalam had another purpose. He was stealing it from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It wasn't Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's purpose to sit and have an abhishek. His purpose was to serve together with the devotees, cleanse the temple for their judgment. However, the Bengali Vaishnavas is glorified because he understood that, yes, the Lord Jagannath is already here. Why are we cleansing the temple in anticipation of Lord Jagannath when he's already here? So we should rather worship him right now, wash his feet. So from a pure spiritual point of view, he was correct. But because he was interfering with the direct purpose of the Lord, he was externally chastised. Although internally his surrender was appreciated. And the same thing would happen here, you know, like if someone would suddenly start to go up to a spiritual master and throw water over his feet and drink that water, he'll certainly be chastised and thrown up, but at the same time also gets the mercy, no doubt about it. So, but the spiritual master will chastise. And at the same time, he will have some appreciation for the faith of that devotee. But he also say, you should rather than looking for the mercy that you will get, you should rather assist me in becoming an instrument of mercy and use your energy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was cleansing the Gundicha temple so that the mercy of the Lord could spread widely. He had his purpose of spreading the mercy of the Lord. The Vaishnava is only fault was that he was into taking the mercy rather than that he put giving the mercy before. So if he assists the spiritual master in giving out the mercy, there is even more mercy. Even more mercy. It's even greater mercy. So, this Vaishnava is very fortunate. I once did a program in the Agra jail, and they had me standing on the stage and did the kids on this program, and at the end they wanted me to give out sweets to all the prisoners, and they're all lining up coming to take the sun. So my feet were quite high, you know, so they could see that. Right? So to take a harmonium, it was a big harmonium, and make it like a wall in front of me. It was like a box. So put this harmonium like a wall in front of me. And then this one man, he's holding his hand out from the street, and suddenly I feel this hand from other hand. He was a thief. That is clear. He was a thief. So, what can we say? It is true in relation to mercy. Beg, borrow, or steal. Somehow or other we need to get this person. But then, sooner or later, that eagerness has to translate into taking mercy and giving mercy. And then we don't have to steal anymore. Then the Vaishnavas voluntarily will put their feet on our hands. If we are actually eager to be out of this, that's the greater relationship with this. Vaishnava.
look at the reference of this life, but it's very beautiful when it's describing the mercy of the God. Bhakta pada bulihara bhakta pada chama. Bhakta bhukta havashes team marva. Lord Chaitanya is the class.
You want to meet someone?
Please give some insight into that.
Yeah. Which I have to help because I don't memorize the whole thing like you. But the path of duty, the dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas, that is our greatest wealth. Because there we are giving up our stubborn independence. Our stubbornness is out of it in my way. We'll give that up by bowing before the Vaishnavas. To take the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas on this path down. You can't take it with the nose up high. You can't get it. You have to bow. Only when you bow will you be able to take the dust. So this bowing means not only physically bowing, but bowing our will. Bowing our will before the Vaishnava. And say, see, the dust of the Vaishnava's feet is found in two places. Namely, at the feet itself and in his footsteps. Therefore, one can take some dust from the feet of the Vaishnava, but one cannot all the time be there. Just like one devotee said, Prabhupada, I want to always sit at your lotus feet. And Prabhupada said, that will be difficult because my feet are always moving. So, but the dust is found in the footsteps of the Vaishnavas. Therefore, sattva-vritti, following in the footsteps. Bhakta-pada-yuri, what was the other one? Bhakta-pada-jala. Okay, and the water that has washed the feet of the Vaishnavas. So Paduri, that you can get at any time without any special occasion, because there's always some dust. But Bhakti Padajal, that means there must be puja. Then we are worshiping. That is part of our worship. When we are taking the water and then wash the lotus feet of the Vaishnava. And we often worship. So we should always worship the Vaishnavas. We should actually make an effort to worship the Vaishnavas. In the spiritual world, the Vaishnavas receive each other by offering art. It's like here it's a handshake and there it's art. Whatever. Pranams is better because there's an element of worship. Maybe Bhakta Padajara, Bhakta Padajara, Bhakta Padajara.
Bhakta Bhakta Havashyash.
Like that I don't get.
The remnants of the Buddha.
Yeah, but I can you say any more to it?
Bhakta Bhakta Havashyash.
Ah. It's like this is the worst acoustics that I've ever encountered. So, Bhukti Bhuja Dei Chai Ba, to take the remnants that the Vaishnavas have taken. Even to take prasadam with the Vaishnavas. I remember here downstairs, we were taking prasadam in the restaurant with various Vaishnavas, and Giriraj Maharaj was there. And Giriraj Maharaj says, he said, it's a proven fact that cows are milked together. They give more milk. In the same way, when the Vaishnavas take prasadam together, then there is great benefit. So we take prasadam together, and of course, when remnants are there, very important. It's very important. God is very personal. Very nice. That is in relation to that. That's
Kalidas. What's that his name?
Kalidas. Who also drank the water of Rajatana's feet. Rajatana's feet were washed at the entrance of Simhadwara. And Kalidas had taken remnants of all the Vaishnavas in Bengal. And finally, the interesting thing was, he wanted remnants of every Vaishnava. And he got some of these remnants. And I won't get into all the detail of that. But in the end, what happened was, he got more than these Vaishnavas. He attained what none of these Vaishnavas had ever attained. He attained more mercy. After taking all the remnants of the Vaishnavas, he got more mercy than these Vaishnavas got because he got the water of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. So by taking the remnants of the Vaishnavas, we do not just get the qualities of these Vaishnavas, we do not just get the mercy of these Vaishnavas, we get more mercy than these Vaishnavas. Just that is. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.